Happy Wednesday, Technically Female Tribe. It's Jasmine for another episode of the Technically Female Podcast. I hope everyone's having an awesome week, starting out the month of September. Can't believe it. Today I have amazing guest, Zakiya Randall, with me, and I'm so interested and excited to dive in with her. Hi, Zakiya, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's great to be here today and to talk to the tribe. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It's always fun times on Technically Female. Nothing but fun. We don't joke. We don't mess around. I mean, we're honest, but we don't mess around. So, like, as we get started, like, who are you? Tell us a little bit about your background and who you are.
Absolutely. So my name is Zakiya Dara Randall. Better known as Z, what some people call me. and just to give a little bit of a background, most people know me from the golf world. I started playing golf at the age of 10.
Oh, wow.
And my career kind of took off pretty fast from there. I've won over 70 golf tournaments in my career and, you know, done feats as, you know, qualifying for the U.S. Women's Open.
Wow.
And, you know, playing on a couple of TV shows on the Golf Channel, Big Break NFL, as well as Big Break Puerto Rico, and competing with some of the top, you know, female athletes in the world. And it's just been a wild ride. And after that, competing on the LPGA Tour for a bit and doing the grind of the week-to-week traveling and going to tournaments and things of that nature. And after, you know, kind of, you know, staying on tour for a while and kind of realizing that the traveling and the injuries and all of the things that had come with that, I said, well, you know, I'm multi-talented, you know, let me see if there's something, you know, in the technology realm or in the business realm that's for me. And, you know, my parents are both in the fields. My mom is primarily in a database management consulting, and my dad is in network engineering. So cool. I've kind of had a keyboard in my crib ever since I was little.
So, early exposure.
So I said, well, let's try this. And that led me to, you know, going to University of Maryland, College Park. And because I went pro straight up high school. Gotcha. So, I went back to college and got into the business school at Robert H. Smith. And that led me to majoring in information systems where, you know, I kind of was recruited into the consulting world, so to say.
Yeah.
And in terms of technology, you know, kind of what I do now is I'm more on the security side.
Cool.
Of consulting with, you know, a number of clients. In my day-to-day job. So that was to give you kind of like a short brief bio and background about me.
That's awesome. No, that's, I mean, anyone that listens to me on the tribe, like week after week, knows I love sports, like sports enthusiast, sports fanatic. Like, they know that I'm really trying to cope with football that's supposed to be happening, but I'm still not buying into football happening. But, you know, we'll see how it works. But that's really awesome to hear that your journey may not have been the traditional, like, STEM journey that most of the people may hear about, but you took a different route and still ended up in information systems. Like, you were an athlete first and then decided, hey, I'm kind of interested in this. Like, you got some exposure from your parents a little bit and, like, you know, I'm going to try this consulting thing and see how that shakes out in security. So that's really, really cool. That's interesting. I love to hear different backgrounds and how people get into different things, because sometimes there's this, like, stigma around, well, you got to go to school first and you got to do this and then that, and that will yield, you know, getting paid or whatever it is, right? And everyone's journey is just not the same, which is a part
Absolutely.
Of the reason why I started this podcast. And so you mentioned that you pursued information systems at the University of Maryland College Park. Great school. Actually, I went there for my MBA. Love Maryland. And so you pursued that, but, you know, what was that key driver? What was that aha or light bulb moment that went off for you that was like, yeah, I think I want to pursue information systems? And, you know, why was that industry of interest to you? Like, what was it about it that got your attention?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's great to hear that you're a fellow TERP, by the way, but, You know, well, what's interesting is, you know, as I was playing golf in my teen years from 10 all the way up to, you know, 2021, I was still, you know, active with, you know, technology, you gotcha. Know, learning programming and doing things of that nature. A fun fact, I would say, is my mom, we didn't really watch much TV in our house. It was just, you know, you go to the computer and you search the internet and you know, that was kind of our entertainment. So Same. I always got involved with, you know, Khan Academy and things of that nature. And I was always just a very inquisitive kid growing up. So the internet was kind of like my playground in a way of how I could learn different things.
Oh yeah.
So technology just kind of came natural to me. I always, you know, my plan B option was, hey, if this golf thing is not, you know, working out, you know, technology was always going to be the next thing. And, you know, I think it was an effortless transition just because I always heard my mom talking about technology growing up. So, gotcha. So, you know, when I added, you know, kind of the public speaking background that I had, you know, I would talk to kids, you know, when I was, you know, in my golf career, I would go and talk to a number of different organizations, whether it would be Boys and Girls Club or Go Girls Go or a number of different organizations, you know, and that translated perfectly now that I'm seeing to consulting.
Gotcha.
So all of these pieces kind of came together at the perfect time. Now that I'm going into the consulting, you know, now that I'm in the consulting field, it's like, oh, I need that public speaking so that when I'm going into these meetings with these clients, you know, I can be able to kind of spar with them and still, you know, give recommendations in a succinct way.
Right.
And then I can bring that technology piece, you know, when I was talking about recommendations so that I can, you know, better be prepared to serve their organizations. So all of this kind of came together in a way that I think, you know, was, I would say, like a perfect storm.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the sports and how that all came together, you know, the discipline that I learned from sports, you know, and all those things also, you know, helped me in my day to day as well.
Yeah, no, I think what you just said is so big. I feel like I say it over and over to, I call them my kiddos. I don't have any kids, but like my kiddos for like my recruiting world, is communication. Like being able to not only like understand what you're saying, but communicate at a level where people can understand and buy in and commit to what you're doing, right? And like you were able to bring something that was foundational to you from the sports world into the tech world, that there's a huge need for that. Like people that can communicate, that can understand, that can listen. You know, it sounds very elementary, but you probably know better than I know that it's not. especially in consulting, where it's like, you know, people want to push ideas on people, but it's about listening and communicating and being able to explain yourself and articulate yourself in a way where people are like, oh, like I could get behind what Zaki is saying, or, oh, I can support that. Like, but you got to be able to tailor your communication knowing who your audience is, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think you hit on a number of different points there. I think the struggle in technology in general is having someone who's technical, but also having someone who can break down those technical concepts in a high level way that anybody can understand it. And I think that, you know, that's what a lot of people, you know, I see at least in the job world now, what they're searching for, you know.
Yep.
I want someone who's technical, but I also want someone who, if I take them to the CEO, he's not completely confused when we give this recommendation to him.
Right.
So you know, those, you know, soft skills are just as important as the technical skills nowadays.
100%. I'm glad you're saying this, because sometimes you're like, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. I'm trying to tell you it is. So I'm glad I have a friend in you for acknowledging that it is important. And so when you think about your college experience, you know, we always think about, man, if I had known that, you know, before college, I could have like not made that mistake, or I could have did better here. And so I want to get your take on like, what are some things you learned from college that you wish you had known that may be helpful for, members of the tribe that are in college or are getting ready to pursue college or will be pursuing college in the future? Like, what are some things you learned that you think would be helpful to know.
Absolutely. So, you know, my college path was, I would say, a little bit different. Like, I started working, like, my first year in college. Oh, wow. So, a lot of people wait to, you know, around their junior or senior year to start doing internships, mm-hmm. to start, you know, kind of getting in the groove of the working world. Mm-hmm. But I actually started, you know, working in my freshman year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that, you know, getting that early start in a freshman year, and it doesn't have to be an extravagant internship, but just getting the, you know, just getting the feel of the working place.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of exploring exactly, you know, in what area of technology you actually want to do. Because I actually didn't start off in security. I actually started off in a programming division. Oh. So I jumped around a lot before I kind of, you know, gained my footing into the security world that I'm mm-hmm. in now. So, you know, I went from programming to going to work for a director of the security at the college that I initially worked for. Mm-hmm. And he kind of gave me, you know, a background of the security field, and that kind of piqued my interest. So what I would say is, like, the technology in general is very broad. You know, it has a number of different, you know, I would say, branches that you can get involved in, whether it's security, whether it's compliance, whether it's programming, whether, you know, now you have a number of things like cloud that, right. that's really big. So I would say, you know, use those initial years to kind of jump around and see, you know, kind of what agrees with you. Because, mm-hmm. you know, programming isn't the end be all.
It's really not.
And I think that's what a lot of people think. It's like, yeah. You know, when I think of technology, they think of this, oh, this nerd with these big glasses yep. sitting in front of the computers coding with a Red Bull. And, mm-hmm. and that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, there's a lot of different areas that, you know, you can, you know, get into when you move into technology. And those initial years when you're in college is a way to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
So I would say, number one, you know, get those internships in as quick as, you know, as soon as possible, you know, freshman, sophomore year, instead of waiting, you know, all the way to the junior and the senior year. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Another thing I would say is, you know, also get involved in campus, you know, also get involved with your peers. You know, a lot of the peers that I went to school with are organizations that if I were to leave an organization right now, I could contact them mm-hmm. and they'll be a part of my network. So, you know, also follow your peers and what they're doing as well, because what you'll see is that later down the line, these same people that you graduated with and you made these connections with mm-hmm, mm-hmm. are the same people that are in your network. So that if you need to call them and say, hey, you know, I have this experience, can you connect me with the recruiter? They can be able to put you in a position to do that.
Correct. No, all the good things. When you were talking through, like, interning and getting, you know, just getting internships and starting early, it's so important. And it's interesting because when I was in school, it was like, oh, I, like, remember, like, very vividly, like it was yesterday, that I was in this, like, class that prepared you for the career fair that was on campus, right? And the TA was like, well, you know, get your resume together, but, like, you guys are freshmen, so, like, you're not going to get internships. And I was like, first of all, you don't know me. Second of all, like, the first thing first, like, you don't know me. Second of all, it was like, how dare you, like, you know, try to discourage me from trying to do better for myself and, like, going for right. it, right? And so many people that were freshmen decided, I'm not going to go to the career fair because, you know, he said, you know, we're not going to get internships. And I use that as a fuel to light my fire, to go to the career fairs, to talk to companies. I was, like, shaking out my boots. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. But I was like, you know, I'm going to be that person. And so many companies were, like, super surprised. Like, you're a freshman. Like, yeah. I'm like, you're like, you have a resume. It's like, yeah. I was like, I'm ready. And, like, I don't know, you know, what I want to do, but I know I love technology. I know I love people. And, like, I'm super interested in, you know, what opportunities you have. And of course there's companies where they're like, we don't hire freshmen as interns, but there was one that took a chance on me, and I had an internship my freshman year, right? Like, and it was with SAS Analytics, and I was like, it was a good company. Like, we're not talking, like, you know, something like that. But I say that to say, like, go for it. Like, internships are your free trial. They're your easy pass of, like, oh, I did this internship, I didn't really like it, but now I don't have to do that full time. Like, I can cross that off my list. Because to your point about programming, when you think about technology and you think about certain majors, sometimes these universities also try to drive you to, like, oh, you did computer engineering? Like, you got to be a programmer. And that's not necessarily the case. And I hate that that's the culture of these schools, because you scare people, for one. You scare students to think, oh, if I'm not a programmer, like, I can't get this major, so maybe I should switch, which then can completely change the trajectory of their life. But then, two, like, you only give them limited amounts of buckets of things that they could be doing. No one tells you you could be in programming and be in security. No one tells you to be in programming or, like, in my case, be in HR. Like, no one tells you those things. And so it's really important to lean into what you're interested in and trust the process and trust the key skills that you're learning, to your point, to lead you to the next step. And then the part that you mentioned about leading student organizations and being involved, that's so important. I mean, when you think about it, in the real world, your work teams are like a student organization. Like, they can be messy. Like, they can be messy. People may or may not show up for meetings. You may have to ping, you know, Susie 5 times because you have a deadline on Friday. Like, all the things that happen are just at a bigger scale. I always joke with some of my coworkers, like, the people you work with sometimes are like children in adult bodies. Like, it's the same. Like, it's the same thing. It's just a different environment, right? So I'm glad you see that too, huh?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you made a number of interesting points there. You know, a lot of the same things, even the hustle of being on the recruiting, like hustling to get the, like, you're going to have to do the same thing in the real world, you know? You have to hustle, track down recruiters, you're going to have to, you know, tap into your network, and these skills that you're learning in college can easily translate to when you're in the working world, and you have to, you know, go through that resume, you have to get, you know, you have to get in contact with that recruiter, you have to go through the interview process, all of these things in college translates directly to what it's like in the adult world.
Yeah, so it's best to build that muscle early as possible. Absolutely. Like, build that muscle and start to meet people. And when you said high school and college, I'm like, yeah, I just, you know, was hanging out with some friends from college this week, and I'm at this point, crazy, 8 years almost removed, and like, these are still people that can call on me like, hey Jasmine, like, I'm interested in this role, like, can you help me? Or, you know, saying with me, like, hey, like, I have questions around, you know, I have my best friend, she's a pharmacist, and I have another friend who's in science, and like, this COVID stuff, like, what do I need to know? Like, what, like, you're my lifeline. Like, I don't know nothing about that side of the house. Like, healthcare, like, very high level, but like, these things, like, I need to know, like, what I should be thinking about to make sure, like, I'm taken care of from a health side, right? But you don't think about it when you're in college that these can be permanent relationships and people that can help you navigate into where you want to be. Like, you just, I mean, in college, you're like, I just want to have fun. But, like, really building those foundations at that age can really help you along the way. And I know earlier we talked about, you know, you were heading on, you know, being a golfer and doing it for forever. And, like I mentioned, like, love sports. And so I'm really interested to talk through, like, in what ways has being an athlete, like, in what ways has, like, the skills you've learned or the way that you have become through, you know, your participation in golfing, what things have you brought into the work environment? Like, what things have you brought into consulting? And how has that kind of helped you navigate as you were kind of transitioning into the two different worlds?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great question. I think that, you know, in golf, I always say, you know, I started off in a little program. It's called the First Tee, and there was a number of values that they taught, you know, kids who were coming up in this program. You know, okay, discipline, work ethic, you know, all these different values that you would learn, and these are the values on the golf course that you take in terms of, you know, honesty. Are you writing down the, you know, the right score, you know, or discipline? How often are you going out to practice? Or, you know, responsibility. So all of these things that, you know, I learned on the golf course of getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. and running 6 miles a day and doing all of, you know, this grueling, you know, fighting through all of, you know. Now when I get into, you know, the working world and I'm looking into this environment, I see, well, you know, I need to be disciplined to get this task done. And I find that, you know, I don't struggle with, you know, a lot of things compared to some of my peers, you know, or, you know, if I have to, you know, get this thing done at 2 a.m. in the morning, then I can get it done. And it really wouldn't, it really wouldn't impact me, right? Yep, so a lot of these, you know, things that, you know, I had to do in the golf world where, you know, my day didn't stop once I left the golf course at 4:30. It still sometimes went to 7 and 8, and, you know, I would sometimes be in the gym, you know, till 9 o'clock mm-hmm, at night. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, this, especially in consulting where it's almost
about like the same time. Yeah. About the same time frame, really, just in a different world.
Absolutely. So it's like a lot of these concepts that I'm like, with God, it's like, oh, this plugs in really well to consulting. So, so a lot of, you know, what I've learned on the golf course, you know, the values that I was able to digest as a kid growing up and learning those things, has allowed me, I think, to be in a position where I'm now in these environments, in these working worlds, and I'm able to, you know, kind of stand on my own 2 feet and to really power through, you know, a lot of, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, I think most people would struggle with, coming straight out of school.
Yeah.
So sports, I think, is an incredible way to not only, you know, keep the youth busy, but that
was also, and out of trouble.
That was also another reason why my mom liked to keep me involved in, you know, sports, but it's also a way for you to, you know, transition some of those things that you learn to, you know, adulthood.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting that you say that, because sometimes I feel like I'm an alien. I'm like, y'all don't think like this. Like, I've been working on a team and working with people and like grinding my whole life. Like, right. Like, this is normal to me. So it hits different, right? Like, to your point, like when you do it day in and day out, and you're focusing on what some of the things you mentioned, like honesty and leadership and, you know, helping others, like those are things that are core values, right? Those are things that make you who you are. And just because those are who you are, you know, internally, doesn't mean those things don't shine when you get into like the working world, right? Like those are all things that people live for, like, oh, someone that's honest, like, yes, please bring them to my team. And there's some people like, oh, she's too honest, like, I don't want her. But then also that's like not the company or the team you want to be on. You want to be able to be your authentic self. Like, I always joke with my coworkers, like, yeah, I know when people don't want to hear my, because I'm pretty outspoken, like, I know when people don't want to hear me, they just take me off the meetings, and that's fine. But those that really want the real, like, I'll give it to you, because that's how I become better. And so you mentioned that, and then you also mentioned something that I think is huge: grit. It's something that we don't talk about a lot, but like being able to set your mind to something, being able to work hard, being able to like, hey, I know I got to get this done, however that means. Like, you get a different type of grit by being an athlete, that is so valuable when it comes to whatever you want to do post being an athlete, because you're, I think your brain's just trained in a different way. I can't really explain it. I played soccer when I was 5 up until I was 16. So I know all about, like, you know, my parents had me in all the sports. I did like 5 different sports and was like all about it. And I always say, like, when I have kids, like, they're going to be in sports. And everyone's like, well, what if your kids don't want to? I'm like, well, they're going to find something productive to do, because like, I always feel like sports builds character. It's important.
Absolutely.
it's really important. And so one thing I want to also ask, you know, you mentioned, you know, through your journey, you've also been inspiring women and young adults to become more involved in sports, business, and technology. And I was, you know, talking with you earlier, like, sports, business, and technology is like my heartbeat, like all those three things, like all the things that I love. And so that has been a focus for you, to inspire women and young adults to get involved in those three things. And so how have you made that happen? Like, how have you inspired women, and why do you feel like it's important to do so?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that one of the vehicles that I used when I was, you know, playing golf was I did a lot of public speaking to a lot of foundations. And, you know, what that allowed me to do was to connect with a number of different, you know, girls and women who are from, you know, different backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And it allowed, you know, me to have a platform to communicate to them that, you know, sports is accessible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, at least from a golf standpoint, you know, at the younger ages for girls, there's a number of programs that you can get involved in different golf courses around the world where you can at least get them a start, and get them involved in the game to see if, you know, to see if it will be something that they would like to do. Because to me, there's a lot of scholarship money out there in terms of sports, especially in golf. So, So that's one of the things, you know, that I did for sports. For business, it was interesting. When I was in college, I had actually a cleaning business. Hmm. And so, you know, I was in an entrepreneurship program, and the guy who sponsored, you know, me to be in the program was a guy named David Hillman, who's mm-hmm. the CEO of Southern Management. So, you know, I was able to, you know, connect with people on the business level, and that program kind of gave me the insight to understand the business world in a way that I probably wouldn't have been able to do if I wasn't in that program. So, you know, that's another way to kind of look at it from the business side. And from the technology side, you know, I usually find, you know, a number of my friends are trying to get into technology now, especially given to the dynamic of what COVID is really doing to the economy right now.
Oh, yeah.
I think that, you know, it has kind of created a shift where, you know, we saw remote work coming like 10, maybe 5 to 10 years from now. Now companies are like shifting that to the left.
Yep.
They're like, whoa, you know, now remote work needs to happen now.
Yep.
Now, you know, a lot of, you know, and that's why I say a lot of these, you know, service jobs and a lot of the, you know, the things of that nature is going to, you know, the work environment is going to change, and
yep.
it's going to look completely different in 5 to 10 years. And mm-hmm. I think that, you know, if you are in technology, it's going to be rough to really navigate, you know, between, you know, companies outsourcing and, mm-hmm. and between, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the different dynamics that, you know, companies are using right now to save on the costs. It's going to change it at a high level. And so what I do in my spare time is I try to get, you know, a lot of my friends into technology
mm-hmm.
and to get them exposed, you know, mm-hmm. from the ground level up. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for example, if we're looking at an Instagram app, like how did they create it? Like
yeah.
this app just didn't just
show up.
Right? It was an idea.
Right.
And walking through that process with them, they say, okay, well, they had this idea. And, you know, they may have jotted down a wireframe or whatever it may be,
right.
may have been on a piece of paper, but, you know, this app didn't just show up. Why don't we actually go to the back bare bones and see,
mm-hmm.
okay,
mm-hmm.
well, what programming languages did they do? Like, what did the first, like, version of it look like?
Right.
It didn't look like what it looked like today. You know?
Never.
So walking through, like, those examples kind of gets the mind working, right?
Yeah.
And another example I like to walk through is, how does the internet work? Like,
mm-hmm.
we just send data across the internet, but we don't really understand how it works. So
mm-hmm.
I find that, you know, if I can get their mind thinking about how, you know, technology, for example, is even built into our cars,
mm-hmm.
it's built into our phones, it's
mm-hmm.
built into all of these different things that we use, I can get them thinking at a deeper level that, wow, maybe I want to be a part of this.
Right.
So I would say just grabbing the attention and allowing the people that I'm talking to look at it from a different perspective and to get them into technology.
Yeah, I love the part you mentioned too about using your platform. I think we're seeing that a lot more right now in the sports world of people utilizing their platform and utilizing, like, hey, I may not can impact the whole world, but I do have some followers, or I do have some people that I know maybe looking at content, like impacting it, utilizing the sphere of influence. And one thing about COVID and the justice movement going on, I was telling a coworker today, is like, we only can impact our sphere of influence. It doesn't mean that we're less important or we're less, you know, able to really make change, but like, think about if everybody impacted their sphere of influence, which is what it sounds like you're doing. Like, your people in your circle, your people that get connected from people in your circle, like, you're impacting their lives. And that's how change happens. That's how inspiration happens. It starts little by little. It doesn't necessarily have to be, oh, 10,000 people I impacted this week. Like, that's not realistic, right? So how can you, you know, use your platform, use what you know, also provide visibility to, like, you know, that Apple Watch you have, or, you know, those things that you're utilizing, like, that's run on technology. Like, start to think about, like, those things, like, where, I mean, we're so connected to technology these days. Sometimes I'm just like, I need just time away from technology, which is crazy because I love tech, like, always loved tech.
Right.
But it's becoming a way of life. And I think as a nation, we weren't ready for remote working. It's very clear. We weren't ready for it. And it was almost like, well, don't really care if you're ready for it. This is what it is. And that proactiveness and that being able to anticipate, you know, pandemics or things that happen, we're just not, we're adapting, but, we're finally feeling like we're kind of getting there. And we're like, what, 6 months in, 7 months in later?
Absolutely. And, the interesting thing about that is that's why I think cloud is so big right now, mm-hmm, right? Because mm-hmm. if you have a data center right now and you don't have the equipment in your data center, I don't know what to tell you.
I can't help you.
With the capabilities of the cloud and able to just, you're able to scale up. And, get on the phone with an architect and kind of rebuild your infrastructure.
Yeah.
I think, cloud is really the way of the future there.
Yeah, man. Cloud is king and queen, however you want to align him or her. That is it. So whether we want to or not, it has been definitely very awesome for me and things that I'm trying to save and keep and hold on to for dear life. And no, this is super, super awesome. And, as we wrap up our episode today, at the end of every episode, I always ask my guests to provide a word to the wise. And it can be a word, a statement, a poem, a quote, just something to leave our tribe with, to empower them and encourage them, not only through their STEM journey, but through their week. So, Zakiya, what do you have for our tribe today?
Wow, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. I'll say keep fighting. Mm-hmm. That may sound simple, but every journey that I've gone through, it seemed like the end of the road, but I kept mm-hmm, fighting, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And what this kind of from golf to business to where I am now, I just kept it. I kept fighting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think this is applicable not only to your career. It's applicable to any area of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that it's really applicable even to the state of where we are right now as a country.
Yeah.
So
for sure.
I would say keep fighting would be my words to wise.
And I don't think that's simple at all. I think sometimes simple is better. I'll even say in my mind, keep fighting because someone's watching. Like, someone's always watching you, whether you want them to or not. But, you just don't know. Your fight can encourage someone to, continue their fight. And I think, to your point, with everything going on in the world, it's the little things that I'm like, oh, they're killing it. I'm going to kill it, too, in my area. It's contagious.
Absolutely.
It's super contagious. Oh, this was so amazing. I am surprised every episode. As I loved it. This is why I love the Technically Female podcast. But I really appreciate you, Zakiya, for being a guest on our show and tribe. I'm wishing you all a great week. If you are interested in being a guest on the podcast, send me an email at technicallyfemale@gmail.com. Otherwise, you know what to do. Share the STEMinism.